First of all, on behalf of the entire parish, wish you all a very Merry Christmas. As you arrived for Mass today, you should have received a book, a gift called The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. It's a Christmas gift from the parish to you through the generosity of a donor from our parish. We hope it inspires you to live life to the fullest. You may have seen that the book's subtitle is How Modern Culture is Robbing Billions of People of Happiness. And it's true that our culture does constantly feed us with lies and false promises. But the biggest lie isn't the lie that the world tells us. It's a lie that we tell to ourselves. This book exposes that lie and gives you the practical tools to cut through the confusion that's around you and reveals the one truth that is the key to experiencing more happiness than you thought possible. So I invite you to read a few pages a day and see how it infuses your life with meaning and purpose. But it's not over. You have another gift coming, by the way. Tonight, the second collection is a reverse collection. Instead of putting something in, you get to take something out. It's not money, but it is something exciting that way. We invite each family to take a bookmark. It's introducing a new program called Formed. And you'll have, by using Formed, you'll have free access to hundreds of movies and programs, inspiring talks, and ebooks. Father Raymond said it's kind of a Catholic version of Netflix and Amazon. So it's actually pretty good that way. Instructions for registering are on the bookmark. And it's important because we must educate ourselves in this wonderful divine faith that we've been given. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christmas is, in a word, beautiful. It's beautiful. You're here because it's beautiful. It's only coming at midnight. It must be beautiful, right? That's what draws us. And who couldn't fall in love with the story? A couple struggling to find a room because there's no room in the inn, and the wife is pregnant, and then the shepherds and the angels, the beautiful mother, the heroic father, and the infant that we all like to believe probably didn't cry. The magnificent beauty of it all might also be its weakness. You see, the thought came to me recently through a question that a lifelong Catholic had asked another Catholic. They wanted to know why God would create a baby to die. Why wouldn't he just come himself? Of course, this is precisely the point. That baby is no baby in particular. It is God himself who did come. It is, in fact, God. And so perhaps to take a step back is what we need from the story itself and look at the bigger picture of what exactly has happened in this mystery. The one God who has existed before all time and all creation. There never was a time that he was not. This one God who is not a being, he's not even the supreme being of beings. He is, in fact, existence itself. Without him, simply nothing is. He is existence. So this God who created everything out of nothing, also, has been revealed, is a relationship of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God, sharing the same divinity. And it is this second person, God the Son, without beginning or end, he's the one who took flesh, entered time in the womb of the Virgin Mary, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did he do it? So instead, there are three reasons. He came to reveal the truth about God and man. Jesus would say to Pilate before his crucifixion, "For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." And of course, he is the truth. Secondly, he came to make all things new. St. Paul would say in baptism, tell us that you and I are made a new creation through baptism. We become a new creature. And this is necessary because it heals a deep wound in each of us, this wound of sin. More about that in a second. And the third reason, the Father sent the Son so that, in St. Paul's words, we might receive adoption and then become, in St. Peter's words, partakers of the divine nature. Now, for all of this to work, you and I first have to understand that we need to be saved. We need a Savior because we actually need to be saved. It's probably the part that is the hardest thing today. We just don't feel like we need saving. So the story is nice, a relationship with God, that's okay. But, you know, do I really need to be saved? Yes. Think of it this way. We all know that something is broken in us. Just read the news. Something is not right. Now, in yourself, in your own personal life, how many of you like it when someone lies to you? How many of us like it when someone is malicious, when they hurt by words or even physical? And they break promises, say one thing and do another, unfaithful in friendship or marriage. We hate this. We feel that we deserve better and that it's a wrong against us. We know deep down, this is not how it should be. This is not how I should be treated. This is not how people should act. But then, how often, and we have to be honest with ourselves, do we do it ourselves? Maybe not all of it, but we have done at least some of those, thinking the worst of people, putting ourselves first, my interests, my plans, above the interests and plans of others. We are wounded. The first step is to admit that we need to be healed in order to be saved. And the second step is to embrace the Savior, to embrace the healer. This requires, of course, a total abandonment of ourselves to this beautiful God. This God who, of course, exists outside of space and time, but has come to us. And we're afraid to do this. And this is one of our difficulties. We're afraid that we might lose something of ourselves by giving everything to him. But as Jesus himself told us, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added to you. If we put God first, we actually will get everything. We lose nothing. We actually have everything to gain. Because God doesn't merely want you to have an okay life on this earth. He wants to give you power. He wants to give you a share in the only real power that's real, that lasts, which is divine power. Because you and I are joined to Jesus Christ in his body. He is the head, we are the body. And by doing that, we have been adopted as children of God, and we then are able to become partakers in the divine nature. True, lasting, ultimate, and perfect happiness is what God wants for you, and it can begin right now by sharing in Christ. We are not called simply to imitate his humanity, doing good deeds and such. We are called even to imitate him in his divinity. That is the great calling of the Christian, the disciple of Jesus Christ. It begins even now, and we do it tonight, celebrating the birth of this Savior as the visible beginning of this God who came to heal that wound so deep, and now has asked, invited you to share in the mission to make this known, to make this story known. The whole story is so much more than what's laid out for us tonight. It's only the beginning. We're not here to remember a nice story. We are here to become partakers in the story, in the mission, to be renewed by the sacraments, to get out of this place and to get busy with the real work of the disciple of Jesus Christ, the reason that he was born, to tell people about this amazing love. It's a mission that doesn't end in a birth, nor even ending in a death, but in the very conquering of death, so that you and I can have real, eternal happiness, and no less than a share in the divine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Tonight, out of reverence for the incarnation at Christmas, during the creed, we will genuflect where we normally would bow. If you're wondering when that is, just watch us and we'll do that for you. Let us stand. I believe in one God.